Well, Happy New Year. I hope you had that much fun at Christmas and that you are starting the year with that much excitement and joy, right? But here's the reality. I think for a lot of us, especially the older we get, our lives get more complex, the responsibilities, you know, greatly increase. And I think a lot of us look at Christmas as this finish line that we barely push ourselves across and like, oh, whew. I made it. And now here we are in 2019, starting a new year, and a lot of us probably feel like we're starting at a deficit. Like maybe we're not at our best. Maybe we're not refreshed. Maybe we're not ready for all this new opportunity and things that our calendar kind of naturally gives us. And so as we start, I want to begin with a little, shall we call this kind of group survey slash confessional. And I'm going to ask some questions, and if you answer yes to those questions, I want you to raise your hand, okay? So let's all participate. All of our churches, welcome. Glad you're a part of this. Everybody online, patios, parent viewing rooms, everybody here in Chula Vista. If you answer yes, raise your hand. We're going to start off with an easy one, okay? In the past year, did you ever feel like you had more things to do than you had time to do them? All right, easy one. In the past year, did you ever feel wore down, tired out, emotionally or physically pushed to the edge or beyond your limits? Okay. In the past year, did you ever have any relationship conflict with your spouse, with your kids, with your coworkers or friends? And y'all got some bad friends. Just kidding. In the past year, did you ever feel financial pressure or go through financial hardships? Okay? In the past year, did you ever doubt God, struggle in your faith, or feel distant from Him? Welcome to the club. This last one's really important. In the past year, did you have a deep internal conflict at the core of your being because the Chargers are now good but left us for Los Angeles? Is it not just me? Not like that one's really bothering me right now. I'm having a hard time with this. Now, if you raise your hand on any of those, this four-week series called The Best Year Ever is for you, because these are the topics we're going to talk about for the next 4 weeks, except that last one. We're not really going to talk about that. But we're going to tackle these subjects, because here's what I know about you, because we're all not that, you know, we're not that much different, is that I dealt with all of those things on that list in 2018, at one point or another. And my guess is you did too. And we're all going to deal with those things again. We're going to have challenges and we're going to have struggles in 2019. And so what we're doing in this series is we're talking about how can we have the best year ever and win at some of these common areas that every single one of us deal with. Because the reality is when we push too hard for too long and we're constantly going too fast, the results of that for every single one of us, no matter how gifted or talented we are in our career field, no matter what capacity of leadership we have, no matter what levels of wisdom that we have, if you just push for too long, you know, you're going too fast, you're going too hard, man, what happens to all of us is inevitable. And so I want to invite you to take some notes today, grab that outline out of your program if you haven't already, or click over there on the app. And here's some things that happen to us if we're not kind of aware of the pace that we're living, how we're living. These things are inevitable and happen to all of us, okay? The first one is this. We can get out of sorts emotionally. Write that in there. Have you ever been so stressed that you just can't shut your mind off? Like you're physically and emotionally exhausted, but you can't sleep because you have one racing thought to the next? Or have you ever been so hurt or so emotionally numb or depressed that nothing seems to matter? No matter what you do, it just feels like you're kind of going through the motions of life. And so if we're not careful, we can get, you know, out of sorts emotionally. It can happen to all of us. We can also end up, write this down, out of shape physically. When this happens, you don't feel good. You don't sleep good. You don't eat good. You begin to think a balanced diet is a carne asada burrito in both hands. I personally don't see what's wrong with that, but, right? I mean, here's the truth. When you are under pressure, when you are stressed, usually the first thing we stop taking care of is ourselves. That's the truth. I know that happens in my life. I'm under stress, I'm under pressure. Like I kind of just stop doing things that are healthy for me. When we run too hard, too fast, for too long, we can also end up, write this down, out of order spiritually. Out of order spiritually. When you're pushed to your limits, here's what quickly happens. There's just no time for God anymore. Like at some point this year in 2019, you're going to be pushed to the edge. And one of the things that you're going to be tempted to not do is to connect with God personally. You're going to say, man, I just don't have time to read that devotional in my inbox anymore. Like I'm just too busy to open up scripture. Like I don't have the time. And you're going to stop connecting with God personally through prayer, through times of silence and solitude, just to kind of rest in his presence. We can just stop connecting with God personally. We can also stop connecting with God kind of corporately through his family like we are right now, gathered together. All of a sudden, you know, showing up to worship and hear God's word taught. We just don't have time for that. I don't have time to serve in that ministry anymore, that growth group. I can't be a part of that. The kids have too much going on. And so we can get out of order spiritually. When we run too hard for too long, we can also end up, write this down, out of whack financially. We can just stop paying attention to where the money is going. Instead of us telling the money where to go, it's kind of controlling us. We don't save or think about the future with a paycheck to paycheck without a plan. You know what a plan's called when it comes to money? It's the bad B word. Not that one. Budget. That's what it's called. And we don't live on that anymore because we're so frantic and we're so stressed and we have so many things going on. We're just living without a plan in that area. And then we finally also end up, write this down, out of touch relationally. If we are not well physically, if you are not well emotionally, when we are not well spiritually, when you are not well financially, here's what you already know. It creates stresses in the relationships, right? Yeah, it hurts the relationship because relationships thrive in space. They thrive in margin, that extra time to just be together. And so you're home physically, but you're not home mentally because you're stressed, because you're thinking about those financial burdens, you're thinking about that challenge at work. And so you're not even emotionally present when you're with the people that you care about the most. There's no time for friendships. There's no time to hang out with those other people. Now, everybody look back at that list of all those things right there. Here's what I know. We all struggled with one or more of those at some point in the previous year, and we're all going to have challenges again in 2019. But God has a better way for us to live than being burned out, isolated, or overwhelmed or overextended. And so that's why we're doing this series, because we're going to say, how can we have the best year ever? And each week, we're going to talk about one of those areas. Today, we're going to talk about how can we have the best year ever spiritually. How could you have the best year you've ever had in this life connected to God? Like how can you do that? And this will work for you whether you're here today and you're 16 years old, you know, or you're 60 years old, or you're younger or older. Like what I'm going to share with you today, this is like it's one sentence and three pretty simple yet profound action steps that any one of us can take to have the best year ever spiritually. And so we're going to look at one passage of scripture today. It comes from us from an Old Testament book called Micah. Old Testament is the first half of the scripture that tells the story of Israel and kind of their history. It's one of the books of prophecy. Micah was a prophet, so the book is named after him because these are the words that he spoke to God's people. And so the way that God would work in the Old Testament, he would call a prophet, somebody to go to God's people and speak to them on God's behalf. And so Micah was this guy. The whole book is only seven chapters. You could read the thing in probably 15 minutes. So we're going to look at this, and we're going to look at just Micah 6, Micah 7, and Micah 8. We're going to look at three verses, and let me just kind of set the stage for you of what's going on. So God sends Micah to confront the nation of Israel because they had turned their back on God, and to confront their unjust leaders. Good thing we don't have that problem in our government today. Let's keep moving. So God sends a prophet to go confront the unjust leaders and the people of the country that have turned their back on God again. And so in chapter 6, if you start to read it, it begins with Micah giving the nation of Israel, he's speaking to them on God's behalf, saying, here's God's complaints against you.
And he starts by going, you know, basically saying, how can you turn your back on God again? After all he's done for you, after all the ways he's blessed you, after all the times he's saved you and brought you out of captivity of Egypt, and he starts listing all these things that God has done, and he's like, why in the world would you act this way? Why in the world would you turn your back on me again? And then in verse 6, it shifts from God giving his complaint to the people asking God a question. And here's what they say back in verse 6. Look at this. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? In other words, they're going, okay, like, God, we hear you, but what in the world do we possibly have that the creator of the universe could want? Like, okay, what do you want us to do? Like that's basically what they're saying back. And then they go on to list some things. Look at this. Shall I come before him? So they're looking at Micah going, well, what does God want us to do? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Now let's just pause right there. That sounds really weird to us, right? Because we don't have any of those things. But in this ancient culture, 2,700 years ago, those were the things that were of value. Livestock, precious perfumes, olive oils. Like, these are the things that they had of value. So for us, if we were to say the same thing, like, man, what does the Lord want from me? Right? What are the things that we value? Does the Lord want my paycheck? Does he want me to sign over my house? Does he want me to give him my car? Does he want my shoe collection? I mean, you pick the thing that's valuable to you, okay? Like that, in other words, that's what they were saying. Like, what in the world do we have that the God of the universe could possibly want? Like, what does he want us to do? And then almost out of frustration with intense sarcasm, they say this last sentence. Look at this. Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Now, it depends on how your firstborn's acting, whether that's a good deal or not, okay? But that, I mean, you hear the kind of the frustration and sarcasm in that? Like, oh my gosh. Like, what does God want from us? Like, what do I have that the Lord could possibly want? And I think that's a great question for us to ask of ourselves as we start this year. Like, what does the God of the universe, the creator of all things, like, what could he possibly want from you? What in the world could he possibly want from me? And the wisdom that the prophet Micah is about to give us, this wisdom has changed people's lives positively for 2,700 years. And if you and I would learn to apply what we're about to read, it will positively change your life this year. And so they ask the question, they give options, they're frustrated, and then Micah speaks back to the people, and here's what he says. He, God, he's already shown you, O mortal, O humans, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? And then this is the sentence, power sentence right here. Let's read the rest of this out loud together, ready, begin. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. If you're taking old school notes, pen and paper, underline that last sentence. To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Three simple, simple steps that are really profound and not always easy to live. But this right here has the ability. It's changed people's lives for 2,700 years. And it can change yours as you start this year off right, if you'll let it. So let's dig into it. Like what do those three things mean? Because those aren't necessarily put in words that we use every day. So let's just walk through this together. So write this first one down. What does it mean to act justly? Go ahead and write this in there. How can you have the best year ever spiritually? Act justly. It simply means do the right thing. Go ahead and write that in there. Decide right now to do the right thing. Micah says one of the big things that God wants for you. What does God want from you? He wants you this year to choose to do the right thing, to act justly. What that means is this year you are going to be put in situations. You are going to have moments of decision on your job, at your school, in your home when nobody else is around, in your relationships. You're going to have moments of decision. And in that moment of decision, you're going to have to choose, do I do my thing? Do I do the popular thing? Do I do the thing that everybody else in this industry does and gets away with it? Do I do the thing that even I want to do and I could probably get away with it? Or do I do the right thing? Do I choose to do the thing that God wants me to do? All of us are going to be faced with those moments of decision this year, every single one of us. And in those moments of decision, we all draw from this same trait that every one of us can have, but not every one of us are willing to pay the price for. And it's called character. That's what we draw from in those moments of decision. And character is one of those things that you want everyone you work with to have, and you want everyone you live with to have, and you can spot out the problems in other people when they don't have it, but we rarely talk about it when it comes to ourselves, right? Because if I'm real honest, your lack of character bothers me a whole lot more than my lack of character, right? I mean, I'm motivated to do something about your lack of character. I'm rarely motivated to do something about my lack of character. You know that's true. Because what are the things, when somebody's lack of character gets exposed by a bad decision they make on the job, in a relationship, you know, like when that comes to light, that's the juicy stuff you go home and talk about, right? I mean, when it's found out that somebody at work was doing that, what do you, you go back and you're like, you're not going to believe what Tom's been doing. And you're like, just, whoa, I can't believe somebody could do that, right? I mean, you when you find out that in your circle of friends, you go back and you're like, you're not going to believe what Susan said about so-and-so. I can't believe she would talk about somebody like that. I mean, it's easy to spot character problems in other people, and we love to point that out. But those things are really, really hard to see and hear. So as we begin this year, here's the thing. Don't look at somebody else out there. Let's take a moment and look right here. Because my guess is, in your family right now, in your circle of coworkers and friends, if somebody came up to you and said, you know, I've been working on my New Year's resolutions and my New Year's goals, immediately in your head, you probably thought, well, I hope these two things are on their list, right? You know that's true. Like your spouse came to you and like, you know what, I decided I'm going to do some things different. And you're like, let me see that list. Like, because I can tell you the two that I need you to do different, right? Like it is so easy to worry about other people and point fingers out there and to miss that maybe character development isn't happening right here. And so if we are going to act justly this year, if we're going to do the right thing this year, here's a great way for it to start. Choose to be a person that says, God, man, would you deepen my character this year? Would you deepen my ability to do the right thing in those pressure moments of life that will inevitably come? Because we're all going to face crossroads this year. Some of you are going to be put in situations this month where you're going to have to choose between character and achievement. Like you're going to have to choose, do I do the right thing or do I do the thing that makes me more money on this deal? Do I do the right thing or do I do the thing that I know will get me ahead? Do I do the right thing or do I do what everybody else in the office is pressuring me to actually do? Like you're going to have to choose. Do I choose character or achievement? Because we live in a culture, sadly, that most of the time values achievement over character. If you can play the game, if you have the skill, if you have the ability, we'll overlook a lot of those other things. But if you want to have the best year ever spiritually, you got to act justly. You got to say, God, out of a reservoir of your spirit in me, would you help me do the right thing this year? So you're going to have to choose. Some of you are going to be faced with moments like tomorrow, the next day, this week. You're going to have to choose character or personal gratification and happiness. Do you do the right thing or do you do what feels good? Or do you do what is going to make you happy? It might hurt other people, but it's going to make you happy. Like, what are you going to do? We are all going to be faced with these moments this year. And here's what I know. Nobody decides at the beginning of the year that they're going to steal from their company. Yet many people will this year. Nobody decides at the beginning of the year that they're going to cheat to pass that test or to get ahead. But many people will in those pressure moments. No one decides at the beginning of the year that they're going to have an affair. Yet many people will this year. And here's my point in bringing this up. It doesn't have to be you. Micah is inviting those people 2,700 years ago, and those scriptures are speaking to us today. to say, choose character. Choose right now to say, God, with your help, I'm going to act justly. Proverbs put it this way. This is a great passage of scripture. This is another one. Let's read this out loud together if we could. Everybody everywhere. Ready, begin. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So when you come to those fork in the road moments, and you will this year, cry out to God. God, would you help me? God, would you give me wisdom? God, would you give me the courage to do what's right, to act justly, to choose the right path? God, give me the courage. Give me the ability. God, give me the wisdom. So Micah tells us, hey, if we're going to have the best year ever spiritually, if we're going to stay connected to God, let's choose to act justly. And then secondly, he says this phrase, to love mercy. What does that mean? Write this down. Show compassion. Show compassion. For Micah the prophet, justice should define our behavior and mercy should define our hearts. Justice should define the way that we live and mercy should define the way that we feel. That we actually have compassion for other people. When you read scripture, one of the things that you see is that our world is not just this random hodgepodge that, you know, mysteriously just kind of, you know, formed and was thrown together. In fact, what science has discovered over the last 200 years is that there's really nothing random about our world at all. That the reason it can sustain life and the variety of life that we have is because there are very specific things in our atmosphere and on our soil and in our, I mean, like down to that if it changed to the ounce or to the degree or one shift this way, our planet couldn't even sustain life. And that's what you see revealed in Scripture. Scripture talks about that God laid the foundations of the earth from the very beginning, that he put it together very purposefully and beautifully. In fact, there's this really cool passage in Psalm 102. It's not on your outline. If you wanted to read it on your own, you could. Towards the end of it, that it talks about just the purposeful way that God created the world. And it uses kind of a metaphor of a garment. That God kind of wove together our planet. And if you've ever crocheted or ever sewn, you know the way that you create a fabric is that there's single threads and over and under and over and under and over and under and over and under. And eventually it creates this pattern that creates this beautiful blanket or garment or whatever it is that you're wearing. And it compares our world to that. Like, this is the purposeful way that God created the world. And that's why it's beautiful. He designed our bodies the same way. Like, you are one unique human being, but you have many different systems that have to work together for you to be whole and healthy, right? Let's do a little junior high, high school biology reminder. How many different systems are in the human body? Do you know? Here's what I want you to do. Take your best guess. Say it out loud to the person next to you. Loser buys after service, okay? Ready, go. How many different systems are in the human body? Do you remember this from high school, junior high? We'll say closest wins. Are you ready? Here's the right answer. I didn't know it before I decided to use this as an illustration, so don't be impressed. I had to look it up. 11 different systems in your body that all have to work together for you to be alive right now. Think about it, right? You have the skeletal system, the nervous system, the respiratory system, and then there were a bunch of others I didn't ever even heard of before, right? Some of you don't believe me. Look it up. Not right now in service. Some of you are like, I'm checking that fact. No, trust me. I know it's right. Okay? 11 different systems. Now, here's the thing. When you are whole and healthy, all 11 of those systems are working together in beauty and in harmony. When you are sick, it is because something from outside or inside is attacking one of those systems, and it is not functioning right. And when just one of those systems aren't functioning right, it affects the whole. And our world is the same way. God did not make the world to have disease or extreme poverty or natural disasters that kill hundreds or thousands of people. That is a result of sin and our fallen planet. This is why it is so important to understand that a whole Bible, a whole scripture view of salvation is that salvation is not just for humanity, you and I. That's why Jesus came the first time, to redeem us, to forgive us, to reconnect us back to God. But the scripture story ends not with God coming and taking all the Christians away from the bad old world. There's a moment of that happens. But the very end of the story ends in dramatic fashion when Jesus comes back again with all of heaven and brings heaven to earth. And that God and his people forever are back on this planet without disease, without sickness, without death, without decay for all eternity the way he originally meant it to be. And so understand, like, God's plan was never injustice and poverty and disease and people dying of hunger. And so when the world is working to God's intent, it is whole and it is woven together. Those with resources are not just holding them on to their own, but those with resources are pushing them back out into the broken places in our world like a garment that has a tear in it and re-sowing peace and hope and love and justice. This is what Jesus' people are supposed to be doing. And so if you want to be close to God this year, you are never closer to Jesus. You are never more like Jesus than when you give and when you serve, because that's what our Savior came to do for us. And so how can you have the best year ever spiritually? It's probably not about knowing more here. It's about feeling more here. Meaning having compassion like Jesus does on the least of these, on the orphans, caring for the widows, taking some of what we've been blessed with and saying, God, man, would you help us to be a blessing because of how you've blessed us. And this is why I'm so grateful to be a part of a church that has done this for decades now really, really well. Where we're a church that we just say, not everything that comes to us is for us. But we believe that God has us here to do repairing of broken places and people right here in our own city in Chula Vista, right across our border. You know, like, and then around the world. Like, this is what we are, this is what Jesus people are supposed to do. And so understand, it's not just something that you do here, but here's what I know is going to happen for you. You are going to have opportunities to show compassion every single day. You are going to have opportunities to take some of the threads that God has given you. And when you interact with people on your job, when you interact with people in your school, when you interact with people that don't have hope, that don't see themselves as a son or daughter of God, when you interact with people that think, man, I have no value. Nobody loves, like, here's what you're doing when you're encouraging somebody and helping them know they are deeply loved by God. They are valued by God. God has a purpose and a plan for their life. You are throwing some threads out there and reweaving some of the brokenness that's in our world that God never wanted to be there. You're going to have opportunities to do that every day. And so pray, God, would you help me love mercy this year? Because you are never more like Jesus than when it is in your power to give. In fact, this is the wisdom in Proverbs. Look at this next verse. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Don't say to your neighbor, in other words, don't say to the person that's so close to you, come back later, I'll give it tomorrow, when you have it now with you. You're going to have opportunities this year to love mercy, to show compassion. And how do you stay connected to Jesus? You live like Jesus every single day. Live like him every day. All right, and then Micah finishes. So Micah says, act justly, love mercy. And then he says this phrase. He says, walk humbly with your God. What does that mean? It simply means this: stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Do you know what the most common metaphor in all of the Bible is for a life connected with God, like a human being, you know, connected to God? Like, you know what the most common metaphor in all of the Bible is? Walk. Walk, a journey, a path, run. I personally like walk way better than run at this point in my life. But like, that's the most common metaphor in all of the Bible. Over 800 times in scripture, it compares a life connected to God to a walk, to a path, to a journey. And here's why that's so important, especially this time of year. Because in our culture, we don't like long path, journey, walk, you know. Hey, just stay on that road and eventually you'll get there. We don't like that. You know what we like? You know what metaphor we like? We like keys and we like doors. Let me explain. Like the image of a key or a door is, I have the key, I open the door, I do one simple thing, and I'm there and it's done, right? I mean, think about every article in any magazine. If you go to a bookstore, I think there's still like two left in the world. if you find a bookstore that's still open, and you go to the magazine section, every article in the month of January is selling keys and doors, not paths, not journeys. Every blog in the month of January is selling keys and doors. Every app that comes into your Instagram feed, they're selling keys and doors, right? Like, you go see it, and here's what they say: 30 days to a sexier you. And I'm like, that's all it takes? Like, 30 days to a sexier James? I'm in, you know? My wife would probably say it'd take a lot more, but hey, 30 days, that's it, right? Like, you know, the one key to financial success this year. And it's like, I just need to know that one thing. Like, all my money problems will be solved. This is amazing, right? Like the secret tip for a better self-esteem now. Oh, turns out I was just missing this one piece of information. Feel better about myself, right? Like those are keys. Those are doors. And here's why this is so important to understand. Because I think a lot of people get frustrated in their journey with Jesus or even step off the path with Jesus because somehow they were taught or sold or thought that it was a door. Like it was, I say a prayer, I go to church for a little bit, and boom, everything in my life's awesome, right? That if you would choose to follow Jesus, nothing bad will happen to you. You'll never get sick. Everybody you love will never get sick. And if you send that TV preacher $100, you're going to be rich too, right? Like they're selling keys. They're selling doors. And when you read the scripture, here's what you know this life with Christ is. It's a path. It's a journey. It's a patient quest, step after step, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, saying, I'm going to choose to walk with Jesus through the ups and through the downs that are still going to come. And when cancer comes and when hurt comes and when struggle comes, I know that it's not that God doesn't love me because he promises to be with me in the middle of all that mess. That's the promise of God. And so I'm going to choose to walk with him through all of that stuff. That's what I'm going to choose. And so you might be here today, and as we start this year, you're like, you know what, I'm kind of tired. Like, here we are at the beginning of the year, and I'm already wore out. I already feel distant from God. And you look back at 2018, and you would say, man, at a lot of those crossroads, I didn't choose the right one. This is the good news of the gospel. God has nothing but grace towards you, nothing but forgiveness ready for you, nothing but mercy towards you. This is the good news of the gospel, and that's why January is so fun, because it actually gives us a fresh start, and nowhere is that more real than here. Nowhere is that more real than in a walk with Christ. Scripture says his mercies are new every morning. God has something new for you every day, not just once a year. You can start new right now. That's the good news of the gospel. And so here's my question. Do you want the best year ever spiritually? Three simple yet profound things. God, with your help this year, would you help me act justly? When I come to those fork in the road moments, God, would you help me do the right thing? Not because I know what it is, but because you're going to give me wisdom and you're going to give me courage and you're going to give me strength to stand strong even when it's not easy. God, help me act justly. God, would you help me love mercy this year? Would you help me be like you because of the way that I serve and the way that I give and live generously towards other people? God, help me do that. And then finally, God, would you help me walk humbly with you? Because I know I'm going to face some stuff and I know I'm going to go through some challenges, but man, I know I'm not alone. That's how we can have the best year ever spiritually. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for this ancient wisdom in one simple sentence. And it sounds so easy, yet it's so hard to live out. And so God, would you empower us through your Holy Spirit to be better this year than we were last year? God, would you encourage us? God, I pray for some people today that are pretty tired, that are pretty wore out, that feel pretty distant from you. Would they know that Jesus says, come to me, everybody who's weary, everybody who's tired, everybody who's wore out. God, that you're here today, arms wide open, embracing us, loving us, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, we can start fresh with you today. And so God, we invite you to do that good work in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.